Good Chodesh. Welcome. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Kovav. We're on Daf Kovav. It's amazing how these things work. Amazing. We are finishing up from yesterday's daf, a continuation of yesterday's daf. Yesterday brought in a braisa on Kofi Amud Beis. The discussion has been and will continue to be Kiddush. We have been talking about Kiddush as the first bracha, the first yayin, cup of wine that we make on the Seder night is Kaddish. Is over Kiddush, so it was an excellent opportunity for the Gemara to segue into a discussion regarding Kiddush on Friday night. Kiddush Friday night, Kiddush on Yantiv. And so really, for the last 3 days, beginning on Kuv Gimel, so the Gemara has nearly exclusively dealt with the topic of making Kiddush. Today is, so to say, the pinnacle of this discussion. We are going to be discussing some of the most basic aspects of Kiddush in today's daf. So it's really a daf to look forward to. Yesterday, the Gemara noted that there was a brisa on Kuf Ham with Beis, where we had a discussion of what if you don't have only one cup, and what do you do, and you make a bracha, and you bundle together Birchas Hamazon and Havdalah, and the Gemara says, and parenthetically note, the Gemara says that there are 8 things to conclude from the previous brisa. So what I'll do, I'll start off the morning doing, is just quickly reviewing the 8 halachas regarding the cup of wine that we say over Kiddush, and from that point forward, we'll go into today's daf. Going back to yesterday's daf, Shema Mina Mi Amasis and Tamnei Shema Mina. I'm sorry, Amasis and Tamnei. There are 8 things to learn from the braces of yesterday. I'm just taking one short step backwards as we're going over the 8. Shema Mina Amavda Batil Tzorch Shiavdi Alakos. Number 1, you make Havdalah in Shul, which is great, which is what you're supposed to do, but again, you have to come back home, you have to say Havdalah Alakos, meaning there's a rabbinic institution to make Havdalah Alakos. So therefore, when you come home, Havdalah al Kos, even though you've already said in Shul. Good. 2. Shema Mina Birchas Tuna Kos. Whenever you bench, you have to have a cup of wine whenever you bench. Now, we talked about it yesterday. Does that mean even if you're benching by yourself? Maybe you need 3. Maybe it's only in the presence of 10. Okay. Maybe it's not an absolute requirement. All right. We touched on these issues yesterday. Number 3. Shema Mina Koshal Bracha Tzarech Shir. It has to be a requisite amount. In other words, it can't just simply be a small cup that has less than a shear. It has to have a shear, and the presumption is that the shear over here is a reference to revius. Number 4, Shema Mina, Mevarach Sarach Sheyit Om, that the one who makes the bracha also has to taste it. Meaning you can't just simply make a bracha and let the cup just remain there. You have to actually have a te'ima, you have to taste it. Number 5, Shema Mina, Tamo Pagmo. Once you taste the cup of wine, you're pogame it. You damaged it. The remaining part of the cup is damaged goods. Now that means it doesn't mean you can't drink it. Of course, you can still drink it, but you can't make another bracha over it on a havdalah or like a benching or like a kiddush. You can't reuse it for another kosher bracha once you taste it from it. Number six. Apologize. Shema Mina Tam Mavdil. That even though you drain something, you could still make Havdalah. If you don't fully understand that one, that's fine. It's not fine. But we're going to come back to that later today, so stay tuned. We're going to discuss that later again this morning. Number 7, we're on the very top of Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. Shema Mina Omer Beis Kedushos Al Kos Echad. You could say 2 Kedushos over 1 cup of wine, which is what we talked about, how they bundle together Havdalah and benching over 1 cup of wine. And finally, number 8, Shema Mina Beit Shammai Hiv Alibah Rav Yehuda. He's following the position of Beit Shammai as is reported by Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the order of Yayin, Maor, Yayin, Maor, Besamim, and then Havdalah. That was a Beit Shammai version of Rav Yehuda. Perhaps that's the strangest part because it comes out now that the Bryce is going like Beit Shammai and not like Beit Hillel, but okay, fine. Adkan, that is the 8 things that we learned regarding the halachas of a kos and a kos over a bracha. Where the Gemara is going to focus really on only one of these. We'll actually come back to the Ta'am Mavdil later in today's daf. In fact, we'll finish off today's daf with that. But the Gemara is going to discuss one of these 8 things that we just spoke about, and specifically, Tamo Pagmo. That if you drink it, that's it. You're a pogame it. You damaged it. Ravashi Amar Tamo Pagmo V'Koshal Bracha Tzarech Shir Chanamil Sehi. So Ravashi says, really what I'm going to do is I'm going to contract. I'm going to take 2 of the items that we just discussed and contract really into one item. Because it's really one issue. And that is the issue of tamo pagmo is really the same issue as there's a shear requirement. And Rashbam explains like this. Because there's a shear, there's a minimum shear that you have. And let's assume that the shear is a revius. It's a quarter of a log. It's about 4 ounces, approximately. We're not 100% sure exactly what the conversion is of a revius into our modern measurements, but just for the purpose of an argument, let's just say it's 4 ounces. So in other words, there has to be a minimum of 4 ounces in the cup in order for it to be kosher bracha. Okay. Now let's say I have exactly 4 ounces, and I drink a little bit of it. Now what? So now what is that it's less than a shear. So what essentially the Gemara is saying is that it's exactly the same issue. That because there's a shear requirement, and if I have exactly the right amount, and if I drink a little bit from it, I no longer have a shear. That's the way Rav Ashi understands these two issues. They're linked. It's really the same issue. The Rashbam points out that if Rav Ashi is correct, that means that if I have more than 4 ounces, let's say I have 6 ounces, right, and I just take a sip, so then I can reuse it again. That would be the way to understand Rav Ashi as the Rashbam does.
That would be a side question. When you have one cup, we said for Birkat HaMazon and Havdalah, so you don't taste it. What happens?
No, in other words, you'll bundle it together. In other words, you'll save Havdalah together with benching, so that when you're benching now, you're going to be benching and you're going to be making Havdalah over the same cup of wine.
So you don't drink it after benching.
No. Correct. So v'hachikamer, my tama tama pagma mishum de kosher bracha tzarich shir. Good. Rav Yaakov bar Idi kapit achatzba pigima, and the Gemara is going to point out that other amoraim seem to disagree. Meaning, Rav Yaakov bar Idi was makbid. It bothered him if I tasted from a chatzba. Chatzba is like a jug of wine. Sounds like even if there's more than just a revius, it's going to be an issue. Rav Idi bar Shisha kapid akasa pigima. Rav Idi bar Shisha was makbid. He was careful about a cup of wine, meaning if it was drank, it was drunk from, it's considered to be pogum. It's considered to be damaged. Mar Rav Ashi kapid afilo achavita pigima sa. And Mar Rav Ashi is makbid even if it's a barrel of wine. That if I taste from the barrel of wine, that is now considered yain pogum, and therefore cannot be used for kiddush. Now the Rashbam over here points out that even though it sounds like from the Gemara, that if you taste from a barrel of wine, that's it. That wine is no longer fit for kiddush, or havdalah, or for benching. Meaning I can't use it for anything. So the Rashbam over here writes, the Rashbam can be found... It would be in disagreement with Rav Ashi. So the Rashbam writes, just give me a moment to find it. Kasa pigima ava achavita. Rashbam is about 6 lines down after the lines start getting wide. Chavios ketanos. So he says, no, we're not talking about big barrels over here. We're talking about small barrels. Avalim chavis shel eitz gedola. But if it's a big wooden barrel, ein lahakpid. The Rashbam says, even then, there's nothing to be careful. There's nothing to worry about. That's interesting. I don't know what's behind the Rashbam, meaning why the distinction between a big wooden barrel and a smaller barrel, right? Like a keg, if you will. I don't know what the difference would be, but anyway, the Rashbam says such a distinction is correct. One point before we move on from this kos pagum, and that is once again the Rashbam. The Rashbam says that these halachas, that if I drink from a cup, it's now considered a kos pagum and I cannot reuse it for another kosher bracha. I can't reuse it for kiddush. I can't reuse it for havdalah or for any kosher bracha. So the Rashbam writes all this is a din lechatchila. In fact, if you look at the previous Rashbam, the Rashbam writes mihu. It's one line above from the afila chavita. Is the beginning of the line. Umihu im ein lo ella yain pogum mikadosh alav. If all you have is yain pogum, it's not going to be disqualified for kiddush and for havdalah and for benching. Why? Because of the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says that he was makbid. Makbid means it bothered him, right? It disturbed him that he was drinking from a kosher yain that's pogum. But it doesn't mean that it's a ma'akev. It doesn't mean that it's literally no longer any good for kiddush. It's just not. It's not right. It's not appropriate. What's this whole idea behind kosher pogum? So the Rambam writes, and I think instinctively, intuitively, this would have been my guess as well. Meaning that if you taste from it and then you put it down, so what you have left now is leftover. Meaning, who's going to want to drink from my cup that I drank from already? Right? I know people on Friday night are careful, right? That they Right, they pour out a little bit before they drink from it, because why do I need to share my germs? But the Rambam explains that that's basically what's behind this idea of kos pagum. If I drink from it, I put it down already, now it's just not appropriate to make kiddush, to make havdalah, to bench over a cup of wine that's basically leftovers at shirayim. It's hard to, right, it's not appropriate, so therefore the Rambam writes that that's basically what's the idea behind this kos pagum. But to say that it's disqualified, so the Rashbam is of the opinion that no, that far we're not going to say. Although Tosos further comments on this Rashbam, you can see Tosos on your own, the third Tosos on the Amud. But anyway, okay, we're going to go on.
Excuse me, I don't understand the Rashi though. If it ties in Pogrom with Shiur, then what's a Chiddush? If there's no Shiur, can you make a Brocha if there's no Shiur?
Yeah, in other words, right. The, right, according to Rav Ashi, right, according to Rav Ashi, that's a very good point. I don't know if Rav Ashi would agree with this point of the Rashbam. Meaning, if the connection is between kos pagum and shear, if you don't have a shear, you don't have a shear.
Right, you can't make a
look. Agreed. Agreed.
Saying,
no, I.
Huh?
No, but you can say a bracha in any amount, to make kiddush and to make havdalah, there has to be a requisite amount. You can't. You're correct. Agreed. In other words, to have a little taste of wine, you'd be making a bracha in any amount. But for kiddush and havdalah, I need a kos. There has to be a cup of it, and we know that a kos, a halacha l'moshim sinai kos, is made up of a revius. So if, right, I agree with you. In other words, according to Rav Ashi, I don't know if this is just a din lechatchila. In other words, it said would be a bidyevet. Right. Okay. And furthermore, right, what's even the chiddush then? If you don't have a shear, of course you're not going to be able to. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, that's very good. We're going to go on. The Gemara over here, this is it. In other words, this is really the most basic discussion that we're going to have now regarding Kiddush. And that is just simply, what is the obligation of Kiddush? Where does it come from? We go into Shabbos, we know we make Kiddush. Now, parenthetically, by the way, and I'll speak more about this in just a couple of minutes, but when I say Kiddush, what are we talking about? We come home from Shul, so, right, there are nice menhagim, Shalom Aleichem, okay, Eishes Chayil, benching children, okay. But now we get to Kiddush. What is Kiddush? So Kiddush really is fundamentally, it is the bracha bor pri hagafen, followed then by the bracha, the Kiddush bracha following that. Sher kiddushanu b'mitzvasav v'rak savanu. Okay, that's Kiddush. What about the paragraph of Vayechulu beforehand? It's not really part of Kiddush. It's obviously in the Siddurim. It's part of the Nihug that we say it. Could be that it's an enhancement to the Kiddush, but that's not Kiddush. Kiddush begins with Bar Pri Hagafen. First of all, think about it. On Yontif, what do? We go right in, we start right at Bar Pri Hagafen, and then we go from there. So in other words, Kiddush fundamentally starts with a bracha, Bar Pri Hagafen. In fact, the Gemara today will say that every time I'm making something over a cup of wine, I start with the bracha of Bar Pri Hagafen, and then I go into Havdalah, Kiddush. We talked a couple days ago, why don't we do that for benching? Tosus gave an explanation. But in other words, okay, everything starts with a Bar Pri Hagafen, and then we go into Kiddush. Where do we know this from? How do we know that there's this obligation that going into Shabbos, there's a requirement to make Kiddush? Tana Rabbanan. So the Gemara is going to provide a brisa and the source for this halacha. Zochos Yom Shabbos Kadsho. You have to remember Shabbos Zochreu Al Hayayin. And by remembering, we mean remember it over a cup of wine. Now, where in the Torah does it say that it has to be over a cup of wine? The answer is very simple. It doesn't say it in the Torah. The Torah does not say, Zochreo al hayayin. That's the Gemara adding on to the pasuk in the Torah. Where does the Gemara get that from? So, wait a moment. I'll come back to that. But in the meantime, however, going back to the Braisa, Eimli ala bayom. Now this only tells me they have to make Kiddush during the day. But how about the night, meaning the beginning of Shabbos? How do I know they have to make Kiddush? So the pasuk says, Zechos Yom HaShabbos Kadsho. The Braisa is so difficult to understand. Meaning, what's the first question that we're asking? Well, how do you know you're supposed to make Kiddush during the day? We offer a pasuk. And then, by the way, how do we know you're supposed to make Kiddush at night?
Same pasuk.
Very difficult braisa to understand. And where in the pasuk does it talk about nighttime? That there was an understanding of, now I get it, now we make Kiddush at night as well. But what's happening in this braisa? The Gemara is attacking the braisa.
Yom? I mean, Shabbos begins Balayla.
Okay, good. So Balayla Minayin, Adaraba. So the Gemara just doesn't even understand the sequence of questions in the Braisa. Meaning Balayla Minayin, that was a follow-up question. That's a follow-up question. That should be the first question. Andarabba Iker Kedusha Balailahu. The main Kiddush is at night. Balailahu Kaddish Tichi Kaddish Tchilas Yom HaBaila Kedusha. Because what are you doing? You're sanctifying Shabbos. Well, by Shabbos morning already, you're more than halfway through Shabbos. So when are you sanctifying Shabbos? At the beginning of Shabbos, on the onset of Shabbos. So the most sense is that the Iker Kiddush should be at night. Vesu Balaila Minayin Tamalom Zachos Yom. So and furthermore, says the Gemara, I don't understand the Braisa. Because we ask the question, how do I know that I have to make Kiddush at night? And then the Gemara quotes the Pasuk Zachor is Yom. Remember the day. So Tana Mehadra Alayla V'Kanasiv Leikra Diyamama? That also doesn't make sense. We're asking about the night and we bring a Pasuk regarding the day. So the Gemara says, quite frankly, the Braisa does not make sense. Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, we're going to have to work our way through the Braisa, make sense of the Braisa. Zachos Yom HaShabbos Kasho Zachrei Alayayim B'Knisa. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to basically adjust the Braisa so that it's going to sound logically intuitive. First things first, when Shabbos enters, we have to make Kiddush. Obviously. Because the whole idea of Kiddush is I'm sanctifying the day. So, Bich Nisa, so as the day enters, we're going to make Kiddush. Ainli Ela Balayla B'Yom Inayin, and how do I know that I have to also make Kiddush during the day as well? Tamalam, Zachor's Yom HaShabbos. Zachor's Yom HaShabbos. The word Yom is a reference to the day. Good. Adkan. Now we have a fuller, better understanding of the Braisa. The first question was principally, how do I know that there's a requirement to make Kiddush at night, which is the main Kiddush? So the Gemara says, I have a pasuk. How about during the day? So the Gemara says, okay, we could also use a pasuk as well. But Yomai Mevarech, now let me pause over here for just a moment, and I will come back to the Gemara in just a second. Okay, some things that we need to discuss over here, some basic issues. Number one, wine? Well, where did wine come up in the pasuk? Meaning there's a requirement to say Kiddush, okay, Zachrehu, right? Zachor is Yom HaShabbos Kacho. You have to remember Shabbos. Remembering means mentioning. Right, by a malak, we have the same basic idea. That after that part of the memory aid is to mention it. Zichir Tzitzias Mitzrayim. We have to remember Mitzrayim. We have to mention it. So I understand that going into Shabbos, there has to be a mention of Shabbos. That I get. But wine? Meaning where in the pasuk does it say wine? And the Braisa, even in the original way it was presented to us. Zachor Yom HaShabbos Kacho. Zachri Al Yayin. Meaning it's obvious that it has to be over a cup of wine. Where does that come from? So Tosos discusses this issue. It's the fourth Tosos on the Amud. So Tosos writes, the Zechira Ksiv Alayayin, Zachro Kiyayin Levanon, Nazkir Dodech Miyayin. So Tosos says, if you look in Tanakh, you'll see a couple of times that the word Zachor is connected with wine. Quotes a Pasuk in Oshea, quotes a Pasuk in Shira Shira. Now we know, we've been through enough daf together, we know that those are Pasukim in Nach. That's not a Pasuk in Chumash. So it's fair to argue that this is not a Dinda Araisa. There is a din d'araisa to make Kiddush. But to make Kiddush on wine, that's a din d'araisa. So one could easily argue that's not a din d'araisa. V'hai zechira hayna kiddush t'v'echul lo matzin ala kos ela b'tfila k'damar b'shabbos v'lo nitken ala kos ela lo tzi banavu v'nei beso. Okay, the cup of wine that I come home with, sorry, when I come home to make Kiddush over a cup of wine, so that is for the purposes of making Kiddush on behalf of my family. Now, Tosfos over here, this is just an incidental point, it's interesting. Tosfos over here wonders, what do we do in Shul? We say Vayichulu in Shmoneh Esrei, right? That's the Chachamim were Mesakein to put the paragraph of Vayichulu in Shmoneh Esrei. And then after Shmoneh Esrei, what do? We repeat. Why? Why do we repeat Vayichulu after Shmoneh Esrei, especially after considering that we said it in Shmoneh Esrei? So Tosfos has a thought. Tosfos says, Vayichulu achar tefila b'kol ram haynu mishum yavto shechalios b'shabes shemespalam achas. I'm sorry. Shemespalam atav v'chartanu ve'inomar vayichulu b'tefila v'tiknanam ilomar b'chol shabbos shelo lachalik b'shabes v'shabes. So Tosfos answers, well, the vayichulu was added after Shmoneh Esrei, after Mariv, because there are occasions where Friday night we're not going to say vayichulu in Shmoneh Esrei. Specifically, when Shabbos and Yontif coincide, where the davening is no longer a Shabbos davening. The davening now is a Yontif davening. It's a Tavech Hartanu. And there in a Tavech Hartanu, we don't mention Vayichulu. So there, the Chachamim did not want Maariv to come and go without saying Vayichulu. So they added it after Shmoneh Esrei. And once we added it one time during the year, or however many times it may happen during the year, so the Chachamim just standardized it. And let's say it after every Maariv on Friday night. So Tosa says that's the reason why Vayichulu is said after Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, but that's good. The part I want to focus on is the next part of Tosfos, where Tosfos over here says the following: V'nire dekiddush al hayayin asmachtehi. Tosfos says that yes, there's a mitzvah to say kiddush, and yes, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. But to say kiddush over a cup of wine, that is not a din d'oraisa. Tosfos says that's it's asmachta, meaning the pasuk is cited as just simply a reference point, but it's not the source of the halacha. It's a din derabbanan to make kiddush over a cup of wine. And Tosfos says, "V'had Amar b'misha meisa nashim chayavus b'kiddush ayam derat Torah." And yes, women are obligated in kiddush, and women are obligated in a Torah in kiddush. Hainu dafki kiddush ayam. Aval alayayin lo havya ela midrabbanan. Yes, women have to say kiddush, but that just simply means kiddush, meaning the verbalization of kiddush. But to say it over a cup of wine, that's not a din d'oraisa. They're not obligated in that min haTorah. The kiddush over a cup of wine is strictly midrabbanan. And Tosfos says, and let me bring you proof that this is so, that kiddush over a cup of wine is a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. Very easy question to ask and answer. Kedemashma bereish nazir dekamra miyayin v'shecha yazir laser yayin mitzvah ki yayin harishos. You become a nazir. What does that mean? It means that during your period of Naziros, you're not allowed to drink wine or any grape product. Okay, done. So let's ask a really simple question. What happens when you get to Friday night? What are you going to do? You're a Nazir. You're not allowed to drink wine. Uparech my niu. I'm sorry. And the Gemara in Nazir, quote Tosfos quote, says, not only are you forbidden from drinking wine, yayin rishus, you can't even as a Nazir drink yayin mitzvah. You're prohibited from drinking both yayin rishus and yayin mitzvah. Okay. Now, uparech, the Gemara Nazir asks, my niu kiddusha v'havdalah. So the Gemara says, I wonder, curiosity, what's an example of yayin mitzvah? So the Gemara Nazir says, I'll give you a suggestion, kiddush havdalah. That's a yayin mitzvah. And Tosfos says, read carefully what the Gemara's response is to that. Tosfos quotes it, mushba va'omid maharsinai hu de'itzterich kuala mesar. Really, the Torah tells you have to drink wine on Friday night? Torah doesn't tell you have to drink wine on Friday night. That's not yayin mitzvah. That's what the Gemara Nazir says. It's clear from the Gemara Nazir that there is no mitzvah min haTorah to drink wine on Friday night. Yes, there is a mitzvah we call kiddush. Yes, we have to announce that today's Shabbos. But announcing it over a cup of wine, that's not a din d'oraisa. Don't call that a yayin mitzvah. Ella, the Gemara Nazir gives another example. Ella ki adam arava shvua she'eshta v'chazav amar harini Nazir. So the only example would be, it's funny, like ask this question tonight at the Shabbos table. What's an example of yayin mitzvah? When does the Torah command me to drink wine? The Gemara Nazir comes up with only one scenario where I make a shvua that I'm going to drink wine. Okay. Now, because of my shvua, I'm bound min haTorah to drink wine. That would be the only scenario where the Torah instructs us to drink wine. Pesach is a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa. Nesachim, but that we don't drink it. We pour it on the mizbeach. Look, the Gemara says it. It's the only time that min haTorah there's a mitzvah to drink wine. Other than that, there's no mitzvah to drink wine. So Tosfos looks at that Gemara Nazir and arrives at what seems to be the obvious conclusion. That even though our Gemara says that there's a mitzvah of kiddush, which is a din d'oraisa, and there's an attachment of wine, but that attachment of wine is not a din d'oraisa, but rather just a din d'rabbanan. Good. That's Tosfos over here. I'm leaving out the end of Tosfos, where he does speculate and suggest maybe there's a din d'oraisa to have a cup of wine there, not necessarily to drink the cup of wine over there, but just to streamline the discussion, it's clear from Tosfos that the having wine is just but a din d'rabbanan. So then it engenders a lengthy discussion, which we're not going to have right now, but I'll just bring it up. So that means that when you come home from shul, you, right, who daven Maariv and said Vayichulu and said Good Shabbos to a whole bunch of people, yes. So you're yotze your mitzvah of kiddush min haTorah, and all you're going to do is go home and fulfill the din of kiddush al hayayin. So then what happens is you're going home and your family members, they didn't, you know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't daven Maariv. Let's assume they didn't daven Maariv. And now you're going to make kiddush for them. You already fulfilled your obligation in the Torah. They still have a Torah obligation to fulfill. Okay, so, and it engenders a lengthy discussion of how exactly that works. Maganavram, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Okay, anyway.
So that's
to my knowledge, that would fall under the category of, you know, that's the over 40 discussion. That's not correct. Fine. Yeah, no. I don't have a source for that, but yeah, that's the over 40 discussion. Next, let's go back to the Gemara. Bayomai Mevarech. Good. Kiddush at night we get. Because Kiddush at night, that's the mitzvah. Meaning that's the mitzvah of saying actually Kiddush. What do you do during the day? It's a great question. You think about it, you realize. Meaning we made Kiddush already. Shabbos has been sanctified. So now there's something called Kiddush during the day. What is it comprised of? What is it made of? I think we know the answer. The Gemara is about to give it away. I'm Rav Yehuda Bori Pri Agafen. That's it. Now again, we have minhagim where we say paragraphs before. I say two paragraphs before. Sfarim say more than two paragraphs. Good, but those are minhagim. Meaning, but the truth of the matter is that the actual kiddush itself on Shabbos is really Bori Pri Agafen. If I can express it in ways that like will sound a little bit a little bit radical, but it's really not. There is no kiddush during the day. Meaning, we're just holding a cup of wine and we're saying Bori Pri Agafen. That's not. I hope I'm articulating this well. That's not kiddush. You're not making a brach of kiddush. You're just simply making a Bori Pri Agafen. But what we do is we refer to that as kiddush. But that's not really kiddush. We're not being mekadesh Shabbos. We're not saying anything after the Bori Pri Agafen. We're just simply saying Bori Pri Agafen. But you everyone understand, meaning it's a function of the fact that we already made Kiddush. Shabbos is now Mukdash. So what are we doing on Shabbos morning? So the Gemara is saying, okay, it's Bori Pri Agafen. Huh? No, in other words, it's a rabbinic requirement on Shabbos morning to make Kiddush, but it's a light Kiddush. Watch the Gemara describe it. Rav Ashi iklan mechuza. So Rav Ashi goes to the town of Mechuza. Amrulei liktish lanmar. Rav Ashi is here. Great. So they say to Rav Ashi, here it's Shabbos day. It's not Friday night. It's Shabbos day. They give him a cup of wine. They say, here, Rav Ashi, right? We're so happy to have you. Please make kiddush. Right. So and sorry, I left out the most important part of the story. Amrulei liktish lanmar kiddushei rabba.
Not just
right, Ravashi, please don't make kiddush, make the big kiddush.
Why not just by playing up them again?
Right, kiddush rabbah. Now he didn't know what they were talking about. Havulei savra mainiu kiddush rabbah. The Gemara tells us he didn't know what they were talking. What are you guys talking about? Kiddush rabbah. Amr michti kol brachos kolam bar pri agafen and amr bereisha. So Ravashi literally did not know what to do. Right, he was given a cup of wine. He was asked to make kiddush rabbah. What are they talking about? So what did he do? So he winged it. Right? I think we all have experience in life where this may have happened to us once or twice. He winged it. So he says, look, here's my story. I know that Kiddush opens up with Bori Pri Agafen. So I can't go wrong if I just start with the bracha Bori Pri Agafen. Amar Bori Pri Agafen, the Agid Bey. And I love it. The Gemara says he held the note, meaning Bori Pri Agafen. He did it with Chazanus. And okay, so now it's such a great scene. All right, so he's looking around the room, wondering now: is there more to this? Does Kiddush involve anything more? Thank God, an old man, says the Gemara, was there in the room, and what does he do? He drinks from his cup of wine. Meaning he himself was holding a cup of wine, he drank from the cup of wine, and Rav Ashi realized Kiddush is now over. I did good. And so, and then Rav Ashi himself drank from the cup of wine himself. And Rav Ashi says, you know, I'm pretty smart. I know it doesn't sound that modest when he says the pasuk regarding himself, but okay, he says I'm pretty smart. I figured out what to do. Tosus has a great discussion, which is and please see Tosus inside. I will not go through Tosus right now. Somebody else is allowed to drink wine before you. Meaning, isn't it normally that you're the one who should first drink the wine after you make the Bari Priya Gafen and not somebody else? And this old man, although he saved Rav Ashi from embarrassment, but wasn't he not supposed to drink the wine before Rav Ashi? So anyway, so see Tosus for that discussion. It's a good discussion, important discussion. It sounds like from this episode, that's another good observation. From this episode, it sounds like everyone had their own cup of wine in their hand at the time when Rav Ashi was making Kiddush. In fact, Tosfos, in the very beginning of the Perek, if I remember, if you remember, he made that very observation, that everyone seemed to have a cup of wine. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chia, Mishalo Hivdo, I'm sorry, okay, period. Okay, Adkan, so now that's it. Those two gemaras that we just saw, the source of Kiddush, the halach of Kiddush over a cup of wine, and the Kiddush on Shabbos, which the Gemara refers to as Kiddush Rabbah. And by the way, when the Gemara says Kiddush Rabbah, the great Kiddush, right? Well, now you understand a little bit better. What does that mean, the great Kiddush? Meaning, not so great Kiddush, right? In other words, we're speaking euphemistically, meaning the real Kiddush, of course, is Friday night. That's Knisa So. That's when Shabbos enters. And then when we get to Shabbos morning, and we're not trying to belittle. That's God forbid. But the point is that when you get to Shabbos day, it's an adjusted Kiddush. It's not the real Kiddush. The real Kiddush, of course, is Friday night. This is just a din derabanan where before we start a Shabbos meal, it's not just appropriate, meaning it's the correct thing to do. It's halacha, but it's not Kiddush per se. That's interesting. Meaning, in terms of Kibbutz Shabbos, yes, that's a great observation. Meaning, Kibbutz Shabbos, the day should come before the night. Okay. But in terms of Kiddush, Kiddush primarily is night, not day. Which then the Gemara, now we go back to the Gemara we saw earlier. Now you understand the Gemara's question. It was a great question. If you only have one cup of wine, shouldn't I save it for the day and not use it at night? And the Gemara says it's a great question, but still you can't undervalue the fact that Friday night now is your first chance to say Kiddush, and then you have to have that cup of wine on Friday night. But it, at least now you understand what the Gemara was considering. Okay, continuing the Gemara on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chia Mishlo Hivda b'Motzei Shabbos Mavdav Olech b'Chol Shabbos Kulo. You miss Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, so what do you do? So you can make it up. You can make it up during the week. The Ad Kama, now, when we say, it says the whole week, but it doesn't mean the whole week. It means as long as you have lingering effects of Shabbos. So how long does Shabbos linger? So I'm Rabbi Zera Ad Revi'ah B'Shabbos until Wednesday. But meaning until Wednesday, but not including Wednesday. Ki hadi yasav Rabbi Zera kame de Rav Asi, v'armi le Rav Asi kame de Rabbi Yochanan v'yasav v'kame le ingin gittin, chada b'shabasa, trev v'tasa b'chaj, b'asar shabasa. In other words, as the Rashman points out, you stipulate, you make a tanai, all right, the get is going to be good under the conditions that I give you 200 zuz by the end of the week. Right, and so what you have now is you'll have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That all fits into Shabbos, meaning that's all still a lingering effect of Shabbos. But Arbi v'Chamisha Malayume Kami Shabbasa. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that already is connected to next Shabbos.
What about the drink before that? I'm not allowed to drink before Dalo.
Yeah. So right. So correct. In terms of the not eating, I don't know. I don't know how that worked. That's a good question.
That makes the Shabbat in the center of the week. Yeah, wait, 3 days before and 3 days
right.
After.
Correct. I heard by the Shir Shal Yom of Yom Revi. So it ends with the words L'chuna Ranana. Mm-hmm. So I heard that's in other words, it's Wednesday morning already. You're looking right. You're already preparing now for the upcoming Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to the Gemara. So, Am Rav Yaakov Reidi of Alo Ala Or. So, yes. In other words, so if you don't say Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, so you'll say it on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, but not Or. In other words, don't bring out the Ner. You don't bring Ner is only for Motzei Shabbos. The Rashbam reminds us, the Gemara we learned all the way back in the fourth parak on Daf Nun Daled, where the Gemara over there says that the reason why we have Ner on Motzei Shabbos is because Zecher, it reminds us of the first Ner that was made by Adam Arishon on Motzei Shabbos. So if, for whatever reason, we're saying Havdalah at a later point in time, so you'll make a Koshal Bracha. Besamim, I don't know, it sounds like from the Gemara, yes, Besamim. Although I'm not sure about that. But not near. Not near after Motzei Shabbos. Amarav Brona Amarav. Hanotal Yadav Lo Yikadesh. I do remember, it's funny, it's certain things in my life, I have such a vivid memory of the first time I saw a family wash their hands before Kiddush.
German.
I know. Wash their hands before Kiddush, and then make Motzi. And I thought to myself, that was brilliant. Like, yeah. So I thought to myself, that's brilliant. And then I wanted to do it. I wanted to take on that practice. It's not my minhag, but I so wanted to do it. It makes so much sense. I mean, in other words, what do? We all come to the table. We make Kiddush. Okay, we all get up. We all wash our hands. We all come back to the table. Like, the whole thing can be streamlined. I know it can. However, we're going to have a discussion regarding this. Now, the Gemara is not attacking it from a minhag issue. The Gemara is attacking it from a halachic issue, as the Gemara always does. Meaning, that's the prime consideration of the Gemara. Is it advisable halachically? Hanotel yadav lo yikadish. Let's say you wash your hands, okay? I know you were a little bit confused. You don't know where everyone else was holding, and kiddush wasn't said yet, and you wash your hands. Okay. So now you're ready for bread. But someone taps you on the shoulder and says, wait a second, it's great that you're ready for bread. We didn't make kiddush yet. Oh, okay, fine. You think to yourself, he's right. So the Gemara says, Rabrona says, in the name of Rav, that if you wash your hands, you cannot make Kiddush. But listen to this. The Rashbam writes, so, okay, you can't make Kiddush. Why? First of all, why not?
So
the Rashbam says, now, this is a hot topic. This is a major debate. I see the time. I'm only presenting the Rashbam. I'm not presenting, there are a host of other ways to say this. But I'm going to present this just like the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, and Ben said it already, and that is it's a hefsek. Meaning what's going to happen is that if you wash your hands, so the next thing you should be doing is making motzi. But you didn't make kiddush yet, so don't make kiddush, because if you make kiddush, that will represent a hefsek between the washing of your hands and motzi. Now listen to this next part. The Rashbam says, so what do you do? I'll tell you what to do, says the Rashbam. Have somebody else make kiddush.
But you yourself don't make it.
Listening to kiddush, it's not a hefsek.
Okay.
Saying kiddush, that's going to be a hefsek. Yeah, right. In other words, then you're listening and you're not going to say amen. Okay, that could very well be.
It also supports Rashi's Bishamak
Q&A. Right. Correct. Very good. That's a very good point. So, and the Rashbam writes, I'm reading the Rashbam, I'm just reading a selected part of the Rashbam, the first Rashbam in the Zamud, Kiddush Mafzik Bein Netila Achila V'Havi Kesech Hadas U'Bein Netila Achrita Basar Kiddusha D'Tekev Netila Yadayim Seuda. The Rashbam says that the primary issue over here is that of Hesech Hadas. So if you say Kiddush between your washing and your Motzi, so that would represent a Hesech Hadas. Good. That is the understanding of Rav Brona Amarav. Amalu Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Akati Lo Nachtan Sheder Rav. In other words, Rav didn't even die yet, and I know it's not okay. Rav didn't even die yet, and we forgot what he said. Meaning, zimnin segiin havekaim nekamid Rav. There were many times that we were in front of Rav. Zimnin dechaviv ala rifta mekasha rifta. Zimnin dechaviv ala chamer mekasha chamra. And Rav would sometimes make kiddush over bread, and sometimes he would make kiddush over wine. By the way, I don't know why, and there's got to be a simple answer to this, but Tosos on the Amud Aleph of today's daf had a lengthy discussion of, you know, Kiddush Alayan is not a Din D'Oraisa, that's only a Din D'Rabbanan, and let me prove to you how that's so. I mean, why didn't he quote this Gemara over here? It's clear, Rav wouldn't even use wine over Kiddush, he would use bread. So why Tosus doesn't quote this Gemara right here? There has to be a simple answer to that question. It can't be. I must be missing something obvious.
The Rebbe was very wishy-washy.
Well, we'll get to that in just a second. In the meantime, however, the Gemara is bringing this to make what point? That Kiddush is not a hefsek. Meaning, again, going back to the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, the second Rashbam in the Amud, Shaya Ra'ev Mekadosh Arifta. In other words, if he was hungry, he would make Kiddush over bread. Amo lo bay netila achrita, ela mi kara mashiyad v'achal nahama. Kiddush shel achr netila lo chashiv hesach hadas. Meaning that Kiddush does not represent a hesach hadas. And so, therefore, you don't have to abstain from saying Kiddush even if you wash your hands beforehand. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact that this was said by Rav. This was done by Rav. Rav would make Kiddush over bread. And now you're telling me that Kiddush represents a hefsek? Meaning, and as the Rashbam continues to point out, well, how do you do this? How do you make Kiddush over bread? So it's very simple. First you wash your hands. Good. Then you go to the table, I assume you say Vayichulu. You then make You make a Motzi Lechem in Haaretz. You then make Kiddush, and then you eat. So it's clear that Kiddush does not represent a hefsek. If it represented a hefsek, so then you wouldn't be able to insert Kiddush in the middle. So the point the Gemara is making is...
Wait one second.
So the point the Gemara is making is that Kiddush is not a hesach hadas. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand, how could you say, Rav Rona Amar Rav, and the name of Rav says that if you wash your hands, you can't make Kiddush. Now it's interesting because maybe what you can argue is, and Tosfos makes this point, well, isn't there going to be a difference? Meaning if I know I'm making Kiddush over bread, so then Kiddush doesn't serve as a hefsek. But if I'm not planning on making Kiddush over bread, I was planning on making Kiddush over wine, and by accident I wash my hands first, well, maybe their Kiddush would serve as a hefsek. So, right? So Tosfos says, maybe that's a very simple distinction that the Gemara could have made between the two. And here, we now get to the point that you raised just a moment ago. Tosfos suggests that maybe for Rav, it was a game time decision. It was like an audible. But it was a game time decision for Rav. Meaning, it really depended on his mood. Meaning, he washed his hands, and then sometimes he called for the wine. Sometimes he called for the bread, and what you get from that, and assuming that that's so. Meaning, Tosfos says, I'll say that to defend the Rashbam. Assuming that that's so, now I totally get it. Now I understand. Kiddush is not a hesach hadas. Because if Rav can make a post-Natila decision of what he wants to use, whether it be bread or whether it be wine, and either way, it's not going to be a hesach hadas. Clearly, Kiddush is not a hesach hadas.
When we take that whole concept and apply it to the Pesach Seder, so what kind of become the Seder? Right, make Kiddush and then go through all things.
So it's funny that you mentioned that. The first Tosfos, which I didn't quote, Tosfos is bothered by the fact that the Gemara in Chulin says that you can, on a regular day, you can wash your hands in the morning and it could work for the rest of the day. And Tosfos says, if that's true, so then our Gemara is even entertaining the idea that Kiddush is considered Hesach Hadas. See the first Tosfos where he discusses that very issue. I wasn't planning on discussing it. I'm still not going to discuss it. But anyway. Okay, back to the Gemara. Let's just quickly finish up. I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav Tami, no Mekadesh. If you taste something before Kiddush, you can no longer make Kiddush. It's almost like a punishment. I mean, it's like a kanas, meaning you should not taste before Kiddush. And if you do, you can't make Kiddush. So, Bamine Rav Chana Bar China Merav Huna Tama Ushi Avdil is the same thing true regarding Havdalah Amrle Ani Omer Tama Avdil. Now, if you ask me, I say no. You shouldn't eat before Havdalah. If you do, you could still make Havdalah. Rav Asi Amar Tam Eno Mavdil. No. If you tasted something before Havdalah, Kanas. It's like a penalty. You can't make Havdalah. Now, of course, that puts you in such a catch-22. Well, if you can't make Havdalah, and for that matter, if you can't make Kiddush, so then what are you supposed to do? So the Rashbam explains that...
Next day.
Right. The Rashbam explains for the rest of that night. The next day, you can go ahead and make Kiddush. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Ikla bei Ravasi Yishtal v'tamidi. So he forgot and he tasted something before Kiddush. Sorry. Before Havdalah. So Havale Kasava Avdal. So, but he still made Avdala even though he tasted before Avdala. Amalei devasayav hamar lo avid hachi. His wife said, wait, you don't do that. So amarla shafke karabe svirle. He says, leave him alone. He's holding like it's Rebbe. It's fine. Okay, let's pause over here. We'll finish up the discussion of Tam Avdil, Tam Mekadesh tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.